Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Heather McFadyen. Heather is on the show today talking about how a little significance goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. In today's culture, we hear hustle or slow down. We are either prodded into endless activity and productivity or told that what we really need is to prioritize rest, relaxation, and simply being. Is it any wonder we feel torn in every direction, worried we're missing the opportunities God has placed before us, while at the same time feeling guilty that we're not doing too much? Through her book, Right Where You Belong, Heather encourages us to simply occupy our God-given space, which is a Hebrew definition of humility. God has given you talents and a sphere of influence. Your role is to fill that space, empowered by the Holy Spirit. In this episode, Heather presents four boundary lines to help you identify your unique God-given space and show you how to evaluate your next steps with confident peace so that you can stop feeling exhausted and guilty and start feeling fulfilled. Well, hello, Heather, and welcome back to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you again.
Thank you, Rachel. So good to be here.
So you were on the show in season 4, episode 9, and we talked about your book, Don't Mom Alone. And for those who want to go back and listen to that conversation, I would encourage them all to do so. But for those who don't know you yet, why are you so passionate about coming alongside other moms?
Oh, man, I think it is my own journey of mothering 4 boys and getting to the end of myself and recognizing that I was trying to do so much in my own strength. And I was unwilling to invite other people in to our family story or to ask for help, which we all know is a hard thing for moms to do. But I think it was even just admitting some of my struggles or letting other people see my kids' struggles. And so I isolated, just kept going more and more isolated from the people that were around me. I had people around me, but I wasn't letting them in. And so I wanted other moms to see, like, it's better when we go deeper with, you don't have to know everybody, but a few, and let them in. And it actually makes you be the mom you want to be. And it actually helps your kids be supported. I'm seeing that even more as I have teens, and my voice sounds like the Peanuts Charlie Brown series, that they will listen or they feel loved by the other moms and dads that we've invited alongside us. I mean, just the other day I was at a event and one of the moms goes, oh, your son just walked right up to me and gave me a big hug. And I'm like, I'm so happy that he sees you as a safe person in his life and that he is willing as a 15-year-old to give another person a hug. Like that, I mean, I could cry about it. That to me is the biggest thing. You don't want to be the only influences in your kids' lives. Share the load. It is too heavy. We have in our modern society created something that's not sustainable and doesn't help our families flourish. So that was a long answer to your question, but I'm passionate about it.
Gosh, there's so much in that I would love to unpack, and I'll just encourage everybody to maybe go back and listen to the previous season. But I just was thinking, you're right. I'm just thinking about the church and how we are one body and everybody has different gifts. And, you know, we aren't our kids' saviors. And you're right. And why do we even, you know, we can't fulfill and meet every single one of their needs. And they, because when they see us even model community, how often they're going to start to model community as well. That's such an encouraging. And actually just recently, I had something with work and I felt so, I couldn't make it to my daughter's soccer game, which I felt terrible about. But it was just one of those things that I already committed to. And so I reached out to a friend and literally I struggled with it so much, Heather, to just have this friend that's already going to be at the ball game come and drop my daughter off after the ball game, you know, like literally 5 minutes away. But it was like, oh, I hate to even ask. I'm so sorry to even ask. I really owe you. And like, why was that such a big deal? I don't know.
And it's like her voice in the car and the conversation they could have. Like, our friends see gifts in our kids and can provide perspective and grace in a way that we can't. We're a little too close. And so, yeah, allowing that to happen, obviously with wisdom and, you know, you're handpicking your friends for you. But yeah, it's just allowing God's grace to show up. If we just kind of hole up, we don't allow those various gifts that we've all been given to be used and minister his grace in their unique forms. I think it's 1 Peter 4:10, you know, there is grace available when we walk through a hard thing. There's no grace for our imaginations is what my mentor would say, who's now with Jesus. But I think we can be these stewards of God's grace. And what that means is, and it says in its various forms. So there's a form of grace I'm going to offer that's different from the form of grace you, Rachel, are going to offer. And for our kids to experience those various forms from different people is the whole, like you said, the whole body. We need everybody.
Oh, well, I'm already picture. So encouraged. Yes. Okay. So your latest book is titled Right Where You Belong. And you say the message of this book is that stewarding your space is significant. And because of my devotional, a little goes a long way. 52 days to a significant life. I'm on your newsletter, and I would encourage everybody to go get on your newsletter, and we'll put all that in the show notes later. But like this statement, you just made this one sentence statement, and it just immediately grabbed my attention. So why do you think that so many people question their purpose and circumstances?
I think comparison. I think the pull right now for celebrity and platform and your significance comes from how many people notice what you're doing. We have this hierarchy of what is significant. Even in the mom world, we can say, you know, if you stay home and homeschool, you're being a more significant mom than if you work outside the home and maybe you're a single mom. Like, that's not true. That is not true. That's total made up hierarchy. And so I just feel like if we apply the Hebrew definition of humility to this situation, which I discovered, the expanded Hebrew definition of humility is to occupy your God-given space, that alone is significant. It means that we're trusting that what God has assigned us is significant, and we're trusting that he has equipped us with the skills to fill that space, and that is significant. And then we recognize and remind ourselves of who God is outside that space so that we don't try to overstep in this longing to be important. And we over yes ourselves, like yes, 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 to feel better and more important. And it's like God is saying, you are wearing yourself out because I never assigned that to you. You're taking it on thinking that's going to make you feel special. And you're special because you're my child. You're special because you're loved by the creator God. That is enough. If you're in a hospital bed right now and you are fully showing up in that space with all the gifts God's given you, you're significant. And you're belonging in the Trinity. I'm just saying, I think that we have this desire which God put in us, but we try to fill it with things that he doesn't desire for us.
I so agree with you. And so when you wrote this book, and I'm just assuming you've questioned, like, are you right where you belong? You know, so have you questioned the significance of your own space?
Yeah, I think my thing is FOMO. You a FOMO girl, Rachel?
100%.
So I have this fear that I'm going to miss out, whether I'm going to miss out on the opportunity. So I'll say yes to the thing. Because what if it never comes around again? Mm-hmm. And so there was a season when I said yes to a literary agent, and I just had a new baby, and he didn't know that I just had a new baby. And when he realized that, he was like, oh, you may not want to write a book right now. And I thought, no, I can totally do it. How hard could it be? We both know. We know how hard it could be. And he's like, well, maybe give it a little time. I'm like, no, we're going to do this. So I pushed forward, and no, that was not a fit for that season. I had four boys, six and under, and And I didn't quite, I was going to write a mothering book, really. I'm so thankful that book never hit the shelves, because who knows what I would have told people and the bricks I would have handed them. And I had so much growth that happened in the last 10 years. I can't even imagine what more growth I'm going to have in the next 10. But I think in that season, a friend, she was like, well, what if you waited 5 years? And it sounded like she said a billion. Like, no way, Jose. And then finally, the opportunity did go away. He said, you know what? It's taken a little bit of time, because I was, you know, getting childcare and working on the book proposal, and it wasn't like clicking. And he said, by the time I finally put energy and I finally put it all together and I was meeting with him, he said, all of the mom bloggers have already signed, and there's just not space right now for a Christian mom parenting book. All the publishers have already kind of slotted for that genre. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll start a podcast. Like, and this was 2013, when there really weren't many podcasts. And so I did that. But even doing podcasting, I think you and I were at a conference, and I was like so discouraged after leaving that conference. I literally was about to quit. I talked to my life team. I was like, guys, I think this is not for me. I was in a room of people that were doing the same thing as me, interviewing the same people as me. And it felt like using my gifts and talents in this area was a waste. I mean, there are plenty of other people they could listen to doing the same thing as me. And they encouraged me. I read God's word. It encouraged me, Ecclesiastes. And a friend reached out, and she texted me, and she said, I had a dream about you. It's like, I don't often have dreams. I know she's a woman of prayer. I've done a lot of inner healing prayer with her and other listening prayer. And so I trusted her connection with God and the Holy Spirit. And she said, you were in a store like a Whole Foods, and all these women were coming in, and you were kind of helping them pick out good produce and what could they do with it, which I'm not like a, okay, that's not my thing. I'm not a nutritionist, FYI, if you're new to meeting me. But she was just saying, like, women were coming in, then they were leaving with these, with joy and with baskets full of good food. And it reinforced what I'd read in Ecclesiastes. And it just felt like God was saying, serve the people in the store. Yeah, maybe there are other stores, and maybe people can go and they can get things there. But you have people coming to your store, AKA podcast. How can you serve them and stop looking around? And I think it really reminded me, like, I am not going to miss out on God's will, that whole fear of missing out, if I'm in the middle of God's will. And right now, what he'd assigned me was this podcast. And so to stop worrying about missing out, or what, am I going to miss this opportunity if I take a pause and I follow, you know, what I'm doing, which was to raise little boys, and realize 10 years later, I would have a book, not just one book, but a 2-book deal. Like, God is good. Mm. He is for us. And when we question and try to hustle and make things happen, we're actually missing out, because there was a really great opportunity he had waiting for us, maybe, or just an easier road, and we have white knuckled something to force it. And I think there's a intimacy with Jesus that I want to encourage people and trust, like you, right? Like, a little goes a long way. Like, can I trust that this offering, this love offering, is enough right now, and that God is so big and the ripple effects I may never see? Can I trust that? And can I just be listening to him for what that next step of obedience is, and just believe that if he's asked me to do it, that he's up to something bigger than I can ever imagine? Can I have the faith to believe that, and maybe even pray, Lord, give me faith to believe that I'm not going to miss out, and that this step of obedience, which seems small, which seems insignificant, matters to you, because you are doing something bigger than I can see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes the obedience is laying something down,
mm-hmm.
you know,
truly, it's not always doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes it is. And I think you're spot on. I think it's, we're looking at what everybody else is doing and thinking that what we have or what we're doing in comparison isn't nearly enough. And I have even noticed that what we've done in previous seasons, you know, you mentioned maybe you're laying in a hospital. I had a hysterectomy about a year ago, and there was a season that I was not doing anything but laying in bed and reading books. And I was really struggled. Like, gosh, Lord, I am not accomplishing anything for you and your kingdom. But then I look at, you know, my own children, they've not necessarily, when they're born, accomplished anything yet, but I love them. And then I think about my husband's grandmother. She's not accomplished, you know, she's in a nursing home now, but God loves her just as much as he did in previous seasons. And I think we're all right where we belong in each of those various seasons, and can't even compare what we're doing now to previously or what we're going to look forward to in future seasons. And so, and something you mentioned, you mentioned this, that many books will tell you like hustle and strive and, you know, work harder. And then, or there's this opposite message of like, slow down, you know, just be still, like God work, which is true in some circumstances. And so you say in your book, you say, is it any wonder that we feel torn in every direction, worried we're missing the opportunities, which you just talked about, that God has placed before us, while at the same time feeling guilty that we're doing too much? But your book speaks into this confusion. So what's the main message you hope to convey to give us clarity? Because that's part of your book, right? Some clarity.
Here's a framework that you can apply in different seasons, communicating with God and saying, God, what do you have for me right now? And it may be a season of stepping up and stepping into and doing and, you know, being brave and fighting that giant like David versus Goliath and not shrinking back. But it may also be a season of waiting and maybe what seems like hiding in a cave like David had to do to survive with murder threats and walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Both were true for David in different parts of his story. He had to slow down, wait for God to fulfill the anointing that Samuel had done and wait for his place on the throne. But also there were times he had to step up and he had to do hard things that no one else was willing to do. And so I feel like there's a framework that fulfills that. Hey, God, I want to occupy the space you're giving me. And what is that for me? Like, what is your will for me right now? What are you inviting me into? Because I believe he's at work all the time. And we only miss out when we miss the invitation to join him. That's when we miss out. And I don't feel like often enough, I know for my own life, bringing decisions or bringing, you know, this lack of clarity, bringing it to God and sitting and listening to him. And so I want to help people. I have different, you know, ways to help them find their space and figure out if they're filling it.
Well, you also present 4 boundary lines to help women identify their unique God-given space. So I know that, you know, we need to go get your book to know them all, but could you kind of give us like a Cliff Notes version of the 4 boundary lines?
Yes. So it made me think when I thought God-given space, well, there's the Israelites and God saying, I have this land for you, which is so interesting that we're still talking about Israel all these years later. And we're still talking about the boundary lines of where, you know, where does it end and what's Palestine and what's Israel? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a really tiny country. When I went to visit, I thought, everyone's talking about this. To me, it reinforced that like there is a God and like these people were chosen by him, because the fact that they're still around with all of the groups that have tried to remove them from this world, it's like, man, his hand has to be involved in this. But anyway, there's a chapter or two in Joshua where he outlines the boundary lines of this space for them at that time. And he says, and this tribe's going to go here and I'm going to assign this tribe here. And a couple tribes were like, no, thanks. We'll stay outside of the space. They miss out a little bit. But I thought, okay, there are boundary lines. And these 4 came to mind that are fixed or bendy over the course of time that we could evaluate with God and have him show us the space. So one is time. And to me, that could mean a lot of things for whatever decision or whatever discomfort or you're lacking clarity on. And so it could be gratitude that you exist in this time. Maybe you're really struggling to be grateful for your storyline, for how you got here, for your family, and to maybe spend some time thinking, man, the orchestration of my existence is mind-blowing. The details of how my parents met or how my grandparents or how I was adopted, like all of those pieces, let's take some time and think about that, of our place on the history timeline. And then you kind of move into your lifespan and your seasons and then your present moment and how are you spending your days and bringing that to God. So that's one boundary line is time. We're limited human beings. God is outside of time. So we know he sees our whole life, but what's going on with us right now and the gift and how are we stewarding that? And there's plenty of books on how to manage your time, but bring it to God. Place is the second one. Your place on this planet. Maybe you're in a season where y'all are thinking of moving to a new state, city, country. Maybe it's your neighborhood and you just really don't want to live there, but you're like, God, can you help me embrace this neighborhood? Or how can I fill this space? What role does that play in what you've assigned me to? Or places of position and influence. So if it's at your church, if it's at your kid's school, if it's at your work, show me how place factors into this. Could be online. Then there's your wiring. God, can you remind me who you made me to be? What did I love to do when I was a little kid? What did you put in me that maybe was mislabeled or I thought was a problem, but you actually gave it to me as a gift and I've been neglecting it? And then experiences, those could be positive. You had parents who stayed married for over 50 years. And you have friends who are struggling because they didn't come from families like that. Sharing your story and having them meet your parents is part of your experience and space that God's given you to occupy. And it's okay to embrace the positive parts of your story. And then we have the really hard things. And we all know we don't want to waste our pain. And we want to hold out hope for people who are walking through what we've already walked through. And so looking at those pieces, like, okay, God, I've got these boundary lines of time and place and my wiring and the experiences I've walked through, whether, you know, we don't have to talk about, did God cause it or was it my sin or was it the enemy? Like, we sometimes spend so much energy on the why these experiences happened that we don't spend enough energy on what would you like me to walk through? What do I need to heal from with that experience? We don't need to point fingers and figure out the why, even though that's often what we want to do when hard things happen. So those are the four things. Bringing those to God, I think, is really powerful with a journal and listening for his voice, which I'm really passionate about what he has to say.
Yeah. I'm reading in Jeremiah, and even just this morning, I think it was like chapter 20 or something. And I'm just mindful of sometimes we're right where we belong and it's exactly where we don't want to belong. You know, like when I first was reading your book, I'm like, reading about your book. I kept thinking, you're right, where God's going to use you, and God will use you in the good and the bad times. And so I'm just thinking of the woman right now that's like, I don't want to be where I am. How would you speak into her life right now that there is hope even there
in the suffering places? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in Jeremiah, like, they're in exile, right? They had this promised land. They weren't obedient. And it was actually because of their disobedience that we see they are not in that space and they're assigned to a different space. And it's maybe not pleasant. But what was interesting to me is the instructions God gave them through Jeremiah that were, what do you do with that space? What do you do? So again, are we pointing fingers? Are we questioning all the time on why we're there? Or are we asking God, what do you want me to do in this place of suffering? And he said to them, marry off your children, have grandchildren, plant gardens and eat from the harvest. Okay, so this is long game. This is not like in a week. You can't like have kids, marry them off and have grandkids in a week. It's a long game. You can't plant a garden and leave you if you're going to harvest and eat the food from it. It takes a long time. And then he says, and pray for the welfare of that space, because in its welfare, you will be blessed. And I think that one of our big roles in those places is to pray and to praise. And I know that sounds Pollyanna, but even Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book, Man's Search for Meaning, who was a psychiatrist in a concentration camp for 3 years, he decided to take an objective view of his experience instead of just subjecting himself to the trial. And he was like, it's our last human freedom to decide how we perceive what's happening to us. You can take everything else away from me, his clothes, when he gets to eat, all of the freedoms that you normally take for granted. But your one remaining freedom is how you respond. And I think that we look at Paul and Silas in prison. I mean, you might be in a prison space. You feel locked up. New moms can feel this way. It's like, I am bound to the whims of my newborn. And I do not like this at all. And we always think, okay, what did they do? They weren't blaming God. How did we get in this prison when we were doing your work? They weren't bemoaning. They recognized that in that space, they had an opportunity to make disciples and to praise the God who was outside that space. They didn't know he would cause an earthquake to happen and that the walls would actually fall down. What I thought was interesting is they didn't escape immediately. They weren't planning an escape plan, which I think when we're in these hard places, we're like, how do I get out of this? I don't want to do this anymore. So how do we get out of this hard situation, whether it's job loss, diagnoses, treatment? And they waited there, and it not only did they eventually get free, but the guard was saved, his soul was saved, his family was saved. And I love that I noticed the guard said, now go in peace. And it's like, if we wait for God's deliverance, there's peace that accompanies that. We can trust that, man, I did not like that, being chained up in a prison. I'm a favorite, but I responded with praise and with prayer and discipled who was in front of me, and God delivered me in his timing. And now I can go in peace. And I've walked through hard things. I put that in the book because it was really important to me that this wasn't just like a, you're right where you belong, like the habit. Like, I wanted to call it Occupy Your God-Given Space. The publisher was like, let's call it Right Where You Belong because that feels cozy. But I'm like, you may not feel like it. That's really cruel to say I'm right where I belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we were to take a poll right now, how many women would say, I like where I am?
Yeah. And how many,
or some other women would say, like, God, I don't want to belong here. It would be interesting to see where women really are. And granted, I think my dad growing up, he always told me, like, Rachel, there's hills and valleys. Like, if you're in a valley, there's a mountaintop coming. And if you're on the mountaintop, unfortunately, there's a valley coming. You know, we're going to go in and out of these seasons. And so just hold on to hope. And I'm just thinking about the woman that's listening that maybe is just feeling really insignificant. You know, whatever her role is right now, whatever she's doing, she may just feel very worthless and like she doesn't have much value. So how would you convince her that she has value right where she is?
I would really encourage you to spend time with God and ask him friendship questions. God, what do you think when you look at me? God, what are you inviting me into? God, what am I carrying that I don't need to carry? God, what is significant about this space that you have placed me in? Can you open my eyes to see what you're inviting me into? It was interesting. One day I just gotten out of the shower. I heard my son downstairs and I was like, it was a Saturday morning. I think my husband was out of town. And I thought, who is coming to our house I did not know about? Well, it was a neighbor. 2 years before, she'd seen during COVID a yard sign we had from our church that said, if you need prayer, you know, leave a note. And I had post-it notes. And then eventually I put my Instagram handle because the notes kept flying away. And I was like basically littering all over the neighborhood. So I put my Instagram handle. I'm like, DM me if you need prayer. And she remembered that sign. So she comes to my door and she's crying. She has her little boy with her. And she says, I remember that you said if we need prayer to come and tell you, and we really need prayer right now. And I sat with her. We talked for like an hour, connected her with a couple church options because she was going to a church. She was a believer, but it was like she was just in a really hard season where she was wondering, am I in the right places? I'm really feeling disconnected from people. I'm wondering what God's doing. And it was just God's kindness to show me because I wanted to move out of this house years ago. We were planning to sell it. We were planning to move. And he was just even showing me in that interaction that I have you. This matters to this person today that you're right here and you haven't moved. Because what if you'd moved and then she knocked on the door and it was like, well, who would she find? Would she find my grace in its various form that day that could encourage her? And I just think we overcomplicate it. Like you said, it's just this little thing. And it really matters how we show up at the grocery store. Do we look the cashier in the eye? That is not costing me anything to see God's image in the people I interact with as a mom, going about my day at work, in the cubicle. Like, how am I bringing Christ wherever I go? And not to be a burden. I think that if we're connecting with him and we really believe and have spent time with him and asked those friendship questions, we have already found our significance in that relationship. And so everything else is bonus. Everything else is just icing on the cake of like, oh, I get to bring to you this love and identity and worth that I've already found in Christ. I didn't find my identity and worth in what I do at work or at home or my kids. I found it in Christ. And then this, I get to share who he is with other people in my interactions.
Yeah. You know, I say a lot, but I think it's worthy of repeating that there is value in what we do. We just can't gain our value from what we do. Like, we have that inherent significance, which is what you talked about earlier. So Heather, as we start to come to a close, how has a little gone a long way in your own life?
Man, I think I look at friendships that I've had, and to me, it's like the little ways we've shown up for each other over the years that has built into a depth of relationship that I treasure, that when I walked through one of those suffering spaces, God was like, I already had the people that I needed to lean on because I'd done the little bit every week in building those relationships. You can't get to a hard place and be like, okay, better find some people who are going to bring me meals and going to show up and come to the hospital and pray with me and watch my kids and drive them around. Like, it's a little late, I'm just saying. So just to me, I think of relationships, and again, because of the Don't Mom Alone, but I just really do think it matters to reach out to people small ways. And it matters. We have a friend whose husband's going to have surgery tomorrow. It's like, it matters. How do we show up? Even if she's like, no, 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 we don't need any help. It's like, well, one of the girls was like, I think we should take him flowers or bring him food. Those things build, you know. Even when I had my book launch party here, it's like my small group showed up and they just made it look magical and beautiful. Another friend just showed up and she bought hats. Like, they didn't do massive, big things, but when it all adds up together, it is incredible to experience the love of other people cumulatively. So I hope that answered your question.
It does, in such a beautiful way. And we're getting ready to, we've got like 1 minute left. I should have, I need to upgrade, but can we hop off and then we'll hop right back onto this episode and I'll just ask you those last two questions.
Okay, sure, no worries.
Okay, thanks. I've had many of those times when people have loved me in that way. And I think that you're so spot on. So many times when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we obey his promptings and do the things that he wants us to do right where we are, sometimes I feel like we don't see immediate fruit from those things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't always get the response that we think that we should in that time. But I think what your story and so many of the stories that you have even just shared today lean to, like, we never know how God is going to use that years down the road. And I think that that is where the hope is, that when we can look back and reflect on these seasons of life that we are in, we can see how God has taken it a long way, all the little things. And I think one thing I wanted to touch on is just to lean into the Holy Spirit. And you've mentioned that so many times in this conversation, how important it is to listen to his voice and to see what he's wanting to do in us and through us. So Heather, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to, they're going to want to listen to your podcast and purchase your book. So tell us how we can best do that.
So now my website is my name, heathermacfadyen.com. But if you go to don'tmomalone.com, it'll still get you there. And then on Instagram, it's still at don'tmomalone. And yeah, I'd love to connect with y'all.
Well, I just appreciate your time today. You've been such an encouragement to me. And I just hope that it's encouraged me to trust that God has me right where he wants me. And I hope the same for every woman listening and to realize that a little belonging goes a long way. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Heather McFadyen. We hope that today encouraged you to believe that you are right where you belong and a little significance goes a long way. This week, your little task is to recognize that every person bears God's image and that we can approach individuals with a deep sense of inherent significance, irrespective of our differences. This mindset can guide our words and actions, fostering a more compassionate community where the worth of every individual is acknowledged and honored. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on RachelKAdams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can purchase significant merchandise, and you can download free resources like the Advent Devotional, where I contributed and collaborated with 24 writers to focus on the book of Luke leading up to Christmas. Again, you can find that and download it for free at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Evelyn Sherwood. She is on the show talking about how a little calm goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.